Well, hello everyone. Thanks again for joining us, for joining me, and I trust that we'll have an encouraging time together, speaking of Christ, discovering more about who we are in Christ. Excuse my voice. I'm having a little bit of a laryngitis issue, but somehow I think it makes me sound more spiritual, so this sort of deeper tone, I'm not sure I want it to go away. There's something I want to talk to you about today because it's going to be foundational to a lot of the things I'm going to be sharing in the weeks and months and so ahead. That really has shaped my life, my perspective of my walk with the Lord. In John 14, Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. It's really significant, that statement, because there is this way of life that is Christianity. We've talked about that and over again in the book of Acts. They were referred to as the people of the way. That, I think maybe twice they were referred to as Christians, or maybe only once, but they were referred to as people of the way because the way of life that they lived was totally different than the way of life other people lived. They were in the world, but they weren't of the world. And so they approached everything different. And the reason is because Jesus doesn't just show us the way. He doesn't just lead us in the way. He is the way. In other words, this way of life that is so different, the word holy literally is the word other or set apart, but other would be a good description of the word holy, that this life that Jesus lives is just other. It's just different. It's unique. And in that way, we are peculiar people because Jesus was peculiar compared to the way people in the fallen world live, fallen people in a fallen world live. And so this way of life is the life that Jesus lives. So it's not like we're walking behind him and following him, who's teaching us and showing us the way. It's because we're in Christ. Christ is in us. We've been placed into his very life, into the wonderful, glorious vortex of the life that Jesus lives. Though walking on earth, seated in heavenly places in him, it's just a totally different world. It's a way of life that's amazingly different. Just think about that. It's that you and I are called to walk in this fallen world. And so we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Because we're also told that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And so I'm walking in this fallen world from a place of being seated in the heavenlies in Jesus. And so we see things from heaven down. We see things from heaven's perspective, in union with Christ. And so this way of life that Jesus lives, we've been joined to that life. And it is other, it is different, it is holy. And it's a glorious wonder. And it is the truth. Only Christ is the truth. And everything that is not truth is, if the truth sets you free, knowing the truth, everything that's contrary to the truth is abnormal. Only that which is true is normal. So Jesus is our normal. Jesus is normal. And so he's a way, he's the truth about everything. And he's this way, this truth, and he's this life that Jesus lives. So I just want to tell this little quick story, and then we'll reference it a lot over the next months so that you understand this way of life that Jesus lives, and I'll be referring to often, especially in referencing the people. And we can't avoid the fact that our life that we live is lived in the context of others all the time. And those others don't always behave the way we would like for them to. But we're called to walk this way of life that Jesus lives, not by imitation, but by participation in him who is this way of life, this way of life he lives in us and through us, which is truth, which is full life and life more abundant. I was with a group of people in a place called Kisoro, Uganda, in this mountainous area, beautiful mountainous area of Uganda. In the mountains in that part of Uganda, there's the silverback gorillas, and it's just very, 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 very remote. And we were ministering in one church. It was a pretty nice-sized church. And then the next day, we were going to this church down this little valley in Kisoro, and it's almost like the land of the lost. we went there, and there were some people who, some kids who lived there who had never seen people who were Caucasians, never seen Westerners before that were white. It was a really remote area. But we have a little church there. And when we went to go be with them, to have a worship service with them, pray for them, they weren't quite ready to be set up. It was a big deal to them to have it set up right. So they asked us if we could come back in a couple hours. So we went and did a little tour of that area and saw this beautiful lake and this remote region that we were in. And when we came back, it was time for the worship service. There was probably, could have been 50 people there. I'm not sure. It was a small little group out in the middle of nowhere. And so I was sitting in this chair. That's the way they would do it. They'd have me sit in the chair, and they're all out in front of me, and they're worshiping, and our team is worshiping. And while I'm sitting there, the Lord said to me, he said, "I've been looking forward to this day for at least 2,000 years. I thought, wow. I mean, it was almost like the audible voice of the Lord, that he had been anticipating and looking forward to this day when through us he was going to get to encounter them, and then through them that we were going to get to encounter him, this opportunity for us to minister to them, and for them, just by who they were ministering to us, he had been looking forward to that for at least 2,000 years. And then he reminded me of Ephesians 2:10, which says, "We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he has prepared beforehand that we should just walk in them." Now think about that. "For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so I understood what he was saying, is that he had seen this. He saw it from the cross, even before that. And that he had been looking forward to this day, for we would be there and have the privilege of ministering to these people. And he was looking forward to this day to impact them through our being there. And again, to, of course, impact us by us being there. Too, they were such amazing people. But it just did something inside of me. And I realized, in light of what Ephesians 2:10 says, that's true about every day and every encounter that we have with other people, is that he's been looking forward to this for at least 2,000 years. And so it totally transformed my perspective. I no longer am able to just pass by people, just sort of do life and be so caught up in what I'm trying to do or get to that I'm not being aware of all the people that are around me, and that none of these are chance moments, that he has created me in Christ Jesus for good works that he's prepared beforehand. And all I've got to do is just walk in them. I don't have to stress out and try to create opportunities. I just have to live life, and the opportunities are there in front of me, because every person that I meet, he's been looking forward to that encounter through me with this person for at least 2,000 years. And so I began to recognize that the person in front of me, whoever they might be, no matter how brief the moment might be, no matter what their story in that moment might be, what their conversation is, or what, regardless of anything, that they were the most important person that ever stood in front of me. And that their story was the most important story I'd ever heard, because that's the way he felt about them. And so when I would pull up and go through McDonald's to get a cup of decaf coffee on the way to my office, you know, and I'd go through the drive-in window, even though brief moments, to be able to realize this is the most important person. Jesus is saying this in me. Chuck, this is the most important person that's ever stood in front of me or sat in front of me or whatever. If I'm texting someone, then this is the most important encounter, conversation I've ever had. That's how he values us. If we'd have been the only person in the world, he'd have died for us. If that person driving a window at McDonald's, he would have died just for them. And so when I see that, it gives such, I don't know, but it, you know, it's not like my life was passionless about Christ. That's not true. It always has been full of passion for him, but it just went through the roof, like a breakthrough in another place of glory, to where I saw every person as this extraordinary opportunity, because they were the most important person who's ever stood in front of me. And therefore, even if it's just a moment, brief second, just to speak to them, to smile at them, a smile could change their life, because Jesus has orchestrated this. Or just to say, have a great day, or I'm praying for you, Jesus loves you, anything. Or if it's in a moment where I'm passing by somebody, or somebody comes up to me, and of course, Jesus never does the oh no's. Do you know what I mean by the oh no's? That when you see somebody coming, you go, oh no, not them again. He didn't do the oh no's ever. And so if I'm one with him, I don't have the right to do the oh no's either. I can repent. The word repent means to think with. I can now think with the mind of Christ and no longer be covered by the oh no's. You know, but to see every person that might stop and want to talk to me, no matter what they're saying, no matter how trivial it might appear to my flesh, this is the most important person's ever stood in front of us, me and Christ, Christ and me. And their story, whatever that conversation is, whatever they're telling me about, is the most important story that we've ever heard. You see, from that place, the love of Christ and great compassion comes forth from us. And in the context of that kind of compassion and love, ministry happens and signs and wonders occur. Now, I'll talk more about this and probably maybe even again tomorrow. And we'll do it off and on a lot over the next month, because I'll use all kinds of illustrations to remind you of this. Because even this today, it's one of those things I just hear every day. And I'm reminded every day. It gives such significance to every day. There's nothing boring about my day, even if I'm just only person I see is the person at the window in McDonald's, because again, that's the person I say to them sometimes, I'll like go, oh, you're the one. And they might go, the one what? Oh, you're the one that Jesus died for. That's the most important person that I've ever met, with the most important story I've ever heard. And so I wanted to share that with you, something that God did for me in Kosoro. I was just watching my clock watch to make sure I don't go late. In Kosoro, Uganda, the rest of that trip, I was just blown away by all the opportunities, all the people. Just my perspective about all that changed. And it's never gone away. That's the way of life that Jesus lives. That's this way of life that Jesus lives. And it's so fun. It brings such intrigue into, and not just intrigue, but eternal significance into every conversation over the phone, every texting, every email exchange, every one-on-one meeting, no matter how brief it might be. Okay? Well, that definitely is other, right? Because the life that Jesus lives is other, and it's a different perspective. And we will nurse this a lot in the weeks and the months to come. And hopefully that all of us will just break through even more. And we can say like Paul, that if it seems like we're mad, like crazy, it's because the love of Christ controls us. That's the coolest thing in the world. Amen? Okay, have a great day. And thank you for being tolerant with the voice. And I look forward to being with you tomorrow. That'll be our last day this week. Next week, I will not be able to do this because I'll be in some meetings in Georgia all week long. We'll be back in the saddle the next week. So tomorrow will be our last day doing this until the week after next. But I'm just so grateful that you join. I'm so grateful that you would give your ear, you know, to hear. And I pray that what little bit I've experienced and what little bit I've been privileged to participate in, this life that Jesus lives, this way, that it would have an impact and bring you into a greater experience of the life and life more abundant that Jesus lives in us. Amen? Okie doke. Have a great day.